Oh yeah?
What?
Yeah.
So we should learn Leiloi Nishmasa.
Sure.
Or we should
learn
Leiloi Nishmas Yachas.
Okay, so we learn Leiloi Nishmas anyone who's Yartzeit is today. Okay. So Rav Avram Tzvi Kluger Shlita. He's one of the very big mashvim in Eretz Yisrael today. Has a sefer on Hanukkah called Ner LaRagli. The first piece is pretty pashut, but like Rav Kluger often does, his svarim are either very, very deep and almost impossible to understand, or super down to earth, and just says things that we should know, but we don't stop to think about, and that's why we have mashpiyim and tzaddikim to help us. So Rav Kluger says the following: Maimer Aleph. Rav Kluger wants us to just get in tune with how bad things were leading up to Hanukkah. Chidush hanitzachon be'etzem hayitzil mochama b'yam ahim b'zman hazeh. Okay, let's start. The first paragraph. Hine kol hayamim tovim v'hanisim shenasu Yisrael hayo ba'ofen shayu gezeros kashos al am Yisrael. Obviously, every Yom Tov celebrates difficult times and miracles that happened. U'v'chastei Hashem Yisbarach nitzalu mehem. U'kigon hanes shayu ba'purim. On Purim there was a terrible decree. The Jews went to Achashverosh's party, and there was a gzera placed on their head, and there was a miracle, a salvation of Klal Yisrael. And yes, the struggles of Purim came about because Klal Yisrael were not where they needed to be. Right? The Gemara says, Ora is Torah, Sason, Simcha, Vikar. They got back their tefillin, and they got back their bris milah, and they got back Yom Tov. Right? Not in that order. I said them out of order. Yeah. Sas lahudim, haisa ora v'simcha is Yom Tov. Sason is milah, vikar is tefillin. So Svasama says, it's because leading up to Purim, they didn't have those things. So Klai Yisrael was in a bad state. That's the story. That's how it goes. We do bad things. We get ourselves in trouble. There's a lot of tzaros, and then there's a salvation. But Kluger says, well, that's the pattern of Jewish history, of the difficulty and then the salvation. When it came to the story of Hanukkah, it was unique. It was unique in the degree with which Klal Yisrael were in serious trouble. Right? Again, Klal Yisrael ate by the Suda of Achashverosh, and there was a gzeira, he quotes here, Lahashmid Laharug La'abed, Esther Perak Gimel, and Hashem saves us, and Vina Hafachu, and Haman ends up hanging from the gallows. And he says where it's underlined, Shaya Gezerah Kasha. Yes, there was a difficult Gezerah. Begash Bisobaruchnias. This is the story. This is how it always goes. And Klal Yisrael are saved. Right? And then life, hopefully, goes back somewhat to normal. Life goes back to the regular flow of life, the way that it was before the Gezerah. Right? That's the pattern. There's the Jews the way we're supposed to be. We mess up. Things get out of control. It gets really frightening. There's a salvation. And then life gets back to normal. And we have a new Yom Tov. However, says Rav Kluger in the second column, you have to understand that Hanukkah was not like all the other Yom Tov. It's not just another time where we were in trouble and Torah was struggling and Jews were threatened and holiness was overrun. You have to look at Hanukkah as categorically different than the other Yom Tov that operate within this pattern. Bo nishtana etzem hatsura shel Klal Yisrael. You have to understand, this was not a struggling Klal Yisrael. This was not a Klal Yisrael whose lives were threatened. Baruch Nias uVegashmias. This was a fear of Klal Yisrael losing its tzura, its form. The form, the definitive form of Klal Yisrael was threatened. What does that mean? Hinei, second paragraph, in the left column. Kluger says part of the problem is we're all used to Hanukkah since we were little kids. We've been coloring pictures of Yehuda HaMaccabee with his sword, right? We've been coloring pictures of the menorah. We've been lighting the menorah since we're little children. And we're very used to the simplistic understanding of the story of Hanukkah. And that's good and bad. So we don't really renew our thinking, and we don't grow in our mature understanding of this Yom Tov because we're so used to it. And we have such child-friendly memories of this Yom Tov. But when you stop and think about it, you very quickly realize that Hanukkah is of a different caliber of Nes. a different degree of struggle, a different type of salvation. Again, you can say, why? Why is it different than Purim? Why is it different than Pesach? Why is it different than the Kavod of Sukkos? There's a lot of miracles in history. There's a lot of threatening times in our history. What makes Hanukkah different? Rav Kluger is convinced that it's different. And it's not just because he decided he's going to write a sefer on Hanukkah, so he has to make it Kiilu Hanukkah is different. He really believes that Hanukkah is different. And here's why. Uvenosef al zos, shebederech klal nesaper mesamaisa shel Hanukkah rak misof hamaisa. We very often, and this might be the reason that we're not realizing how crazy things were, is because we pick up basically at the end of the story. We say the Chashmonaim were very brave and they went out to fight and they defeated the Yavanim. The Ein Misbonanim Kol Kach Ba'arichos HaGolus V'Godol HaAstar V'Ha'Alama Shayu Kodim L'Chim. We don't realize that Hanukkah wasn't like a 10-minute thing where they went into the Beis Hamikdash and they wrecked the place, and a few minutes later some soldiers came and fought their way back and found the Pach Shemen and everything was over. This is part of a long gullus. Not as long as the gullus we're in today, but this is part of a very, very long and frightening gullus. Turn the page, turn to the top of the next page. He brings a mashal in the footnote, I'll share with you outside, a mashal from the Baal Shem Tov. The mashal is that the father or mother lion once was trying to explain to the baby lion how powerful a lion is, and how strong, and how the lion is the king of the jungle. And the lion goes out one day, and the lion sees a picture, sees a drawing, sees some type of statue, or some type of display, right, of Shimshon HaGibor. Picture of Shimshon, a depiction of Shimshon HaGibor, and in that picture it shows how Shimshon HaGibor kills a lion. So the baby lion comes running back to Mama Lion or to Papa Lion and says, you told me that lions are so strong and so powerful, but I see, look, I saw, you're trying to deceive me, tell me the truth. You think I'm strong? I don't have strength. I saw a picture today of a man ripping apart a lion. And the mother lion says, don't you understand? You know why that's displayed? You know why that statue, that figurine, that painting, whatever it is that you saw, that display etched into that wall or that arch that depicts Shimshon HaGibor ripping apart a lion? You know why humanity puts that on display? Because he was the one guy who actually overpowered a lion. But you know what that picture should really say to you? That picture should really say to you that, right, this is the novelty, that one time man defeated a lion. That means most of the time you should see in that picture that the lion defeats man. Right, make sure you interpret it in the right way. So we pick up at the story, at the end of the story, where the Chashmonaim win. We have to realize how much we were losing before that. We have to realize how much we were losing over and over again throughout that gullus. He says on the top of page Ches, V'akori ma'at b'sifrei koros b'nei Yisrael b'yamim ha'im. If we study the history of that time period, if we understand what was really going on in Galus Yavan, you just read a little bit about it, right? Omein mishtomim al gvurasam va'oz rucham shamatisyahu banav. Yes, we will take note of the unbelievable strength of Matisyahu and his sons. Shinei Malchus Yavan. Shei Malchus Yavan sama la lamatara lishnos es atzura shel am Yisrael mibifnim. Because the Yavanim wanted to change, not just to destroy, but to change, to redefine the whole essence of the Jewish people from the inside out. That the destruction should come mimcha, from you, from within. They wanted us to what? To destroy ourselves. What does that mean? V'achein haya matzav nora ba'am Yisrael. Asher lo haisa tzar kazu miyom hayosam la'am. Asher chalokim gedola me'am Yisrael halchu b'darchei tarbus yavan. You had people walking around saying, yeah, I'm Jewish, but I have a new understanding of what it means to be Jewish. Says Rav Kluger, you have to understand what that means. We have to wrap our heads around that for a minute. Again, Torah as we know it, Judaism as we know it, or as we want to know it, right, was totally threatened from within. That there should be a heres, and a cherev, a chorban, mimcha yetzeo, that it should come from within. That we should use the ideas of Torah in a way that actually destroys Torah. It was used the ideas of what it means to be Yisrael in a way that destroys Yisrael. Ula'at le'at nishtana kol tzura shel Am Yisrael, to the point that Am Yisrael had become almost unidentifiable. Almost unidentifiable. V'yudgash b'zos she'ein medabrim ata al averos v'chatam. And I'm not just talking about averos, says Rav Kluger. Sheva'od Bayis Rishon Nachra Ba'avon Gimel Averos Chamuros. Bayis Rishon was already destroyed for the big three Averos. Bayis Sheni was destroyed for Sinas Chinam. We're not talking about textbook Averos. We're talking about a change of attitude, an entirely different attitude towards what it means to be a Jew. When we talk about Chorban Bayis Rishon, the Gemara identifies Averos. When we talk about Chorban Bayis Sheni, the Gemara identifies a problem. When we talk about Yavan, we're never talking about, it's not so much about textbook Averos. Again, things on the books. We're talking about a culture, we're talking about an attitude. Eleklipas Yavan garma l'shinoi be'etzem hatzura shel Am Yisrael. Top of the left column. We're talking about a change, a fundamental change in the definition of what Yisrael is. In some ways it's better, it's going to sound like a terrible thing to say, but in some ways it's better for Klal Yisrael to be destroyed, right? That to be redefined, that history should be rewritten, that this is what Yisrael is. The same way that the Volozhin Yeshiva in 1892 decided to close its doors rather than operate by new decrees that were made by the government. We're not going to allow Volozhin Yeshiva to operate through the dictates of the Russian government. It's not going to work like that. Right? We would rather close our doors and shut down the yeshiva than have a yeshiva that's going to be run by people who are not fit to make decisions about how yeshiva should run. So Yavan says, we're not going to destroy it, we're just going to change, we're just going to redefine some of the terms. Right? And that's why it's so threatening. Because it's very easy for us to get caught up in redefining terms and redefining what's considered normal, redefining what's considered Judaism, and still say, no, but this is called Judaism. We're not destroying. I'll even bring you sources to show you that it's found in the Torah. Ukamash Shakasa Besvarma Kadoshim. Klipas Yavan is a Klipa Dako Ma'od. Hakrov El Kedusha. Klipas Yavan is a Klipa. It's a shell of impurity that's very close to holiness itself. Like it says in the Zohar Kadosh, Vinoga Lo Saviv. Vinoga Lo Saviv. Klipas Noga. Klipas Noga. When we talk about the four Klipos tomatoes, if you've learned at the beginning of the Tanya talks about the four Klipos. They're the Gimel Klipos tomatoes. They're the three types of impurity which are completely off limits. But then there's sort of that bridge between holiness and unholiness. That's called Klipas Noga. Right? Noga means some degree of illumination, which means depending on our attitude, we can use it in a good way, we can use it in a bad way. Yavan is the galus that corresponds to Klipas Noga. As opposed to other enemies of ours, which are Kulo Ra. Yavan is not Kulo Ra. A Torah that's written in Lashon Yavanis is a kosher Torah, according to the Rambam, according to the Gemara. So Yavan has a place. Yaft Elokim Liyafes V'yashkon Ba'ol Eishem. It has a place in our world. Says the Zohar, V'noga lo saviv da ihu malchus Yavan, disachra la noga. Yavan expresses itself through this klipa called noga, which means that there has some potential to Yavan. We're not talking about the Gimel Klipos Tomeos. Rather, where it's underlined, he says, Klipos Noga is an Erev Tov Vera. A blend of Tov Vera. A confusion of Tov Vera, of good and evil, mixed together in the most unusual way. And then Rav Kluger says something very interesting, which he talks about a little bit further in the Sefer as well. And that is, the gematria of the word Yavan is 66. The gematria of Noga, the gematria of Noga is 64. The gematria of Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, the shame of Hashem that represents the Shekhinah, or maybe what the Maharal says, that the Yavanim were Nichlas Hu Lahechal, is gematria 65. So you have this interesting 64, 65, 66. Right? You have the Hechal, you have Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, which is the name of Hashem that represents the Shekhinah dwelling amongst us, being surrounded. 65 is surrounded by 64, Noga in front, and Yavan behind. What does that mean? That, so to speak, that Noga is sort of the boundaries, right, of godliness, sort of the bridge, and that stepping stone towards either godliness or to Yavan. Look how Rav Kluger says it. V'hainu shahaya mamish al gvul ha-kedusha u'memela kosher li'farid bein ha-pri la-klipa. It's very hard to distinguish between the fruit and the shell. That's why he says Yavan is 66, Noga is 64, and the Shem Aleph Dalid Nun Yud, the way we pronounce God's name, Ado, right? Hashem's name of Adnus, is 65. V'zeu omek ha-noga v'yavan shesoviv ha-kedusha. They were surrounded. that we're surrounded. We have Yavon on one side, we have Noga on the other side, and we have to decide. We have to decide what is the type of things from this world that I could actually elevate to turn Klipas Noga into something holy. And what is Yavon? What is Mamish Yavon that's trying to destroy and to redefine me? What can I, in a healthy way, bring into my life? And what do I have to run from, like the plague? V'kach la'at la'at, says Rav Kluger, the last three lines of the page. V'kach la'at la'at v'ashpaz tarbas yavan halach v'kam dor chadash lagamri. A new generation emerged. And Rav Kluger says it wasn't something that happened in a second and disappeared in a second. For 180 years, turn to the top of the next page, Galus Yavan was 180 years long. For 180 years, the Jewish people were struggling, right? Trying to identify themselves. V'choshech ze Yavan. Choshech alludes to Yavan, that darkness, that cloudiness. Bo nosfu od v'od misyavdim, over 180 years, more and more Jews took on a new definition of what it means to be a Jew. They became misyavdim. They became Jews who practiced Judaism very, very differently. Okay? So much so, says Rav Kluger in the next paragraph, that even some of our tzaddikim were getting confused. That even the Talmidei Chachamim, we're getting a little bit confused. What's the right attitude? He quotes the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, Yilches Manalach. I'll tell it to you outside for the sake of time. Where the Gemara says, Kishachal Rabbi Yosi ben Kisma, when Rabbi Yosi ben Kisma got sick, who went to visit him? Our hero from the other night, Rabbi Chanina ben Tradion. Rabbi Chanina ben Tradion went to Rabbi Yosi ben Kisma, and they were debating. Rabbi Chanina ben Tradion, remember the end of his tragic story was that he got killed for teaching Torah, Berabim, in public. This is by Yisheni. This is the end of the story. This is Galus Edom. This is not a Yavan story, but this is the continuation of it. That there are rabbis, the greatest Tanaim, at times in Jewish history, who raised the question, should we fight or should we not? The Tanaim were debating. Should we lower our heads and just not fight back and just accept that this is the new reality, this is the new normal, or should we fight back? That was the discussion that was taking place. Says Rav Kluger, the bottom paragraph, in the right-hand column of page Tess, Va'oz b'tokav cheshkos ha'galos, in the midst of all of this confusion and darkness, k'shekvar avru kamadoros ha'am Yisrael halach v'yisraga l'matzav ha'choshech shol tarbes yavan. For 180 years, the Jewish people had literally been falling apart. To the point that what? Again, there was a large movement of people who said, we're the real Jews. Misyavnim. There was such a darkness that reached such a depth. And then all of a sudden, Matisyahu, Ubanov came and they fought back. And that's why we say in the Al Anisim, thank you Hashem Al Milchamos, where it's underlined at the bottom of the column, that we thank Hashem Gam Etzem Zesh Yatla Milchamos Anais. The fact that there were people who still remembered what real Judaism looked like was Anais. Because most people said, this is real Judaism. This is the new normal. How can you fight against them? Now look what Rav Kluger writes in the next paragraph. And this is the paragraph that really brought it down for me and why I wanted to just share with you this little piece. We're done. We're done in two more minutes. And we didn't learn any major chidushim here. But we need to pause at some point over Hanukkah and we need to just say to ourselves, hold on a second. Let's think about what was going on then and what's going on now. What do I consider normal? And would I ever think to fight against something that everyone else says is so normal? Look how Rav Kluger brings it down in a very, very real way. Let's talk about the things that we consider normal in our world. Things that are not, again, threatening to our world. Let's give a mashal me'olam hagashmi. Look what he writes. You guys see where I am? The left column on page Tess. V'yuvan od b'mashal me'olam hagashmi, where it's underlined. Shine roim hayom b'chush eich kol kama shanim mishtanim dvarim be'etzem tzuras habriya. You have to understand that it's natural for the world to undergo changes. And things that were once considered normal are no longer considered normal, and vice versa. Let's talk about a very simple example that we can all relate to, where it's underlined. La'at la'at mishtarshim dvarim v'ne'afachim lios mamish chelek me'achayim ha'pshutim v'ativiyim. What was once considered unusual, over time, takes root, mishtarshim, shoresh, it takes root, and reality changes. What's an example? Ula mashal. Im yirtza mishu l'chayot hayom below Electri umay. A person says, I'm going to choose to live without electricity and running water. What would we think about that person? You're nuts. No one does that. No one does that. In third world countries, Rahman al-Islan, right? Where they live in abject poverty, they live that way. A person who's a cultured person of this world, an educated human being who would choose to live without electricity and water, what's wrong with you? Why would you ever choose such a thing? We'd think you're nuts. Now, says Rav Kluger, just pause for a second and realize that not that long ago, it was totally normal to not have electricity. It was totally normal to not have running water, and people functioned fine. So what's normal changed? So much so that a person today would choose to live without electricity and water. We'd say this person's completely out of his mind. You go back not that far, there was no notion that there could ever be electricity or running water. Certainly not in a private home. A person says, I'm not going to have a phone. We'd say to a person, what are you talking about? Everyone has a phone. People would think you're a strange, unusual person. You're fighting reality. Just accept what the reality is. This is what Rav Kluger wants us to think about on Hanukkah. There were Jews who decided this is the new Judaism, period. This is normal. This is reality. And all of a sudden, a group of old Jews, old school Jews, Matisyahu Banov, decided, we're anti-electricity and running water. What? What are you talking about? That's like not something we're still debating. Everyone has it. This is what's normal. Everyone has a phone. That their eyes became darkened to the point that they couldn't even see how this other approach would even make sense. Over the course of 180 years, reality had changed. And a crazy group of Jews came to fight back. I mentioned to you before that Nevi'im were sometimes referred to as Mishugaim, as crazy people. We know that right around the time of Hanukkah, Nevuah stopped. Which means that these soldiers, who the whole world said are Mishuga, right, were almost like a remnant from that world of Nevuah. Matisyahu Banov, who the world said, you're totally nuts, you're crazy. Right? Nevuah's done. That period is over. We don't function that way anymore. And these throwback Jews decided to come and say, no. You're missing out on something authentic. You're not connecting in an authentic way to God. And they went to Mesiras Nefesh and they literally fought against reality. That's what makes Hanukkah different. They weren't just fighting against a bad guy, an identifiable bad guy, a bad nation, a particular gezeira. They were fighting against Mitzias. The Mitzias was, this is reality. It is what it is. You can't fight against that. You'll never win. This is what's been accepted as normal. You can't fight against Teva. And yet they literally fought against Teva. Okay, turn the page to the last page, where Kluger brings it down, obviously, to our world. And again, the connection is obvious. And again, I didn't pick this piece because it's filled with, you know, marvelous chidushim. There are other pieces in the Sefer that I've seen already and that are much more wonders. But we have to pause for a couple seconds at some point on Hanukkah and just say, the victory of Hanukkah is a victory against Teva. It's a victory against Mitzias. And it doesn't matter if everyone else says you're crazy to not have electricity and running water. You're crazy to think that certain ideals and values that the Jewish people once held dear are going to make it. They're not going to make it. Reality is changing. And you can't fight that. The avodah of Hanukkah is to say, yes, I can. Yes, I can. I'm a throwback Jew. I'm going to hold on to something from a previous generation, an authentic Judaism. And you could scream and kick and scream and say, this is authentic Judaism. But believe me overly that no, there was something from a previous generation that was much more authentic than what we have today. V'advarim chozer menasim, says Rav Kluger, obviously, v'yamim ha'im b'zman hazeh, this is exactly our world today. B'zman sh'bnei Yisrael madlikim ne'eros Chanukah kol Yehudi v'Yehudi mekabel es koach ha'shmonayim lakum yilachim al nafsho. To continue this fight for whatever is truly authentic. And we may not, by the way, no one in this room, and I don't mean this to be disrespectful to anyone, but I'm not sure that any of us in the room have our heads on straight enough to even know what's authentic and not authentic. But we turn to Tzadikim, and that's why we're learning with Rav Kluger now, who is telling us, just realize, Mitzias is changing around you. Reality is changing. What was once considered normal has been redefined by a new normal. And you better find someone who is able to help you to tell you what is actually normal as a Jew. Because there's going to be a lot of people who say, this is normal Judaism. That's what's going to happen in your world. Kol Yehudi v'Yehudi mekabel es koach hashmonayim to fight for whatever really is supposed to be normal. Ve'enenu oskim klal b'enyanei averos chasron. Again, we're not just talking about averos. We're talking about an attitude towards Yiddishkeit. Va'afilu lo al nosim shohoranu raboseinu chachme ador le'inazer mehem. Shrei al pi ha-Torah kol davar sh'osrim poskei ha-dor nefach lios iser Torah mamish. Shekvar nitzavinu b'toraseinu ha-kadosha v'nasis al pi ha-davar sh'yegidu l'cha lo sasur min ha-davar sh'yegidu l'cha yiminu s'mol. He says, obviously, things that the poskim say are osur or mutter, obviously there's nothing to talk about. That's a mitzvah and avera. That's not what we're worried about. It's not the fight on Hanukkah. It's not just a fight over, again, a particular mitzvah or a particular avera. It's a general attitude that we're trying to hold on to. We talk about the culture of Yavan. Again, it's an attitude. It's a cultural phenomenon. It's not about a particular avera, a mitzvah, and an iser. El hamadubar hu al chachmas chitzonios veklipos dakus haminagdos lekedusha. It's noga. It's noga. It's those things that are very hard to identify. Is this good or bad for me? And if you're not connected to tzaddikim, and you don't seek the advice of people who really know what Torah says, it's very easy in a world where all of Tov and Ra is mubobal in our world today, it's very easy to convince yourself that something's not so bad. That it's normal and that everyone does this. And this is the reality of our times. And I'm not talking about any specific thing right now. V'yefshir lahagdiram ba'osios brurus, asher lefam afilu kosher lekrol lahem shem b'shemos shachatam v'avonus. There are things which we can't even call an avera per se. It's very dakustic, it's very fine and detailed. Achein pogmos ba'adinos v'zoch nefesh ha'yehudi. But it damages. It damages the sensitivities of the Jewish people. It damages the sensitivities of the Jewish people. Right? To lose our sensitivities to certain things. And you may not even realize that that's a sensitivity that one should have. But the goal of Chanukah is to try to restore our sensitivities. To restore that authentic Yiddishkeit. That each person should be able to lahachzir es hashraas hashchina liYisrael ulahayir beprotes kol ish ubeso. That everyone... Neri Shubeso, that I at least should allow my home to be a normal place. The street is so wild, the world is so crazy. Can I make sure that my home has half normal values? That the conversations in my home are still normal? The Arizal says that when we say Lahadlik Ner Chanukah, we should be Machavin Nafshenu Chikso Lashem. Shabiyam Me'ilum is Or Etzim Haratzon Vishtokus Lashem. That we should be Jews who have an emistic ratzon to be connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That we shouldn't create our own Torah. We shouldn't define our own norms and our own rules. And again, Rav Kluger says, you might not think this is any different than anything we experienced when we were in Mitzrayim and the Jewish people were threatened or when Haman tried to threaten us or any other threat or pogrom or attack throughout history. But Chanukah, you have to understand, the beginning of the notion that there could be a cultural reality that is impossible to fight against because this is just normal, that's what Yavan represents. And our job on Chanukah is to say, that's not normal. And I don't care if you call me a caveman for choosing to live without electricity and water, right, in a spiritual sense, to challenge something that is so accepted in the world. But that's where we have to dare to be different on Chanukah. Yeah. All right, Shkoyach. It's an avoda. It's not a... This piece is not... Awesome. You know, it's not like
after the recording.
It's not something you have to